The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. The panic. There was panic among the Dory Monson Show staff during the top of the hour news there. Because we communicate by phone. And that's how Nicole and I, you know, discuss what's coming up, what audio we're going to use, where are we going to go with it, all of that. And I was talking to you this morning and early in the show with no problem. Right, Nicole? You were hearing me fine.
Yes, I was hearing you fine. But this has been happening for like the last week where you just cut out mid conversation. I keep talking and you're just, you can't hear me or whatever it is. So your phone's been weird for a couple weeks now, but now
It was working
totally
when we were talking
up.
This morning, and we were talking in the noon hour and most of the 1 o'clock hour. And it does illustrate, though, how absolutely helpless I would be without my phone for even, for even a few minutes. It's crazy how necessary it is. And so Nicole FaceTimed me finally, and that worked. We could communicate that way, but I wasn't muted. My Bluetooth wasn't on. It wasn't going to my my headband speakers. Oh, I love my headband speakers. They're cool.
I couldn't hear you.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you could hear me.
It's very frightening.
Do you think it could be a conspiracy theory with the COVID lottery to where Jay Inslee has found a way to your phone, and now if you get a call from the COVID lottery,
yes,
they won't be able to hear you and to confirm that it's Dory Monson?
Yes, and then my $250,000 prize, it was probably my $250,000 that ended up going to that guy in Yakima today. I bet that's it.
I think we've solved it.
I bet that Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson and Dal Constantine are jamming my phone so I can't win the topsoil. I'm serious. I think I want the topsoil even more than the $250,000. And I know a lot of people say, but Dory, if you won the $250,000, you could buy all the topsoil you wanted and still have $249,000 left over. Yes, true, in theory. But in actuality, just the pure joy that I would experience if Jay Inslee gave me topsoil. That's just, now, you see, I'm sure he'd give me a little manure mixed in with it. But I bet that's it, though. I bet I'm getting jammed by the man. This is bad. We shouldn't allow this to happen. I should be powerful enough that I could fight back against them. All right, so anyway, but we got everything settled on FaceTime. But I was not ready today for a video chat. I'm just not shaved. Feel horrible now. Feel guilty about all of this. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Okay, we've got a lot of stuff going on here. Actually, I was going to do a couple of national. Save the top story, Sean. I'm actually going to do that in a couple of minutes because I always like our top story to be local. But I do have a couple of national things that I was going to touch on. I'm so rattled by this whole communication thing. Eric Clapton is in the news because Eric Clapton, he says that he got deathly ill from, he believes, the COVID vaccine. And because he has said that publicly, Clapton now says that all of his liberal musician friends won't talk to him anymore. I mean, how bizarre is that? He says that he's been shunned because he dared speak out against, or didn't even speak out against it. He just said that he thinks that it made him really, really ill.
I don't know what it will take. I agree that it would be. I've tried to reach out to fellow musicians. Sometimes they don't. I just don't hear from them anymore. My phone doesn't ring very often. I don't get that many texts and emails anymore. It's quite noticeable, you know.
So you noticed that since you started speaking out?
Yeah. Association.
That's so weird that somebody would drop Eric Clapton as a friend because they don't like his position on the vaccine. That's really, but it's also emblematic. I'm not even sure if that's the best word for this, but of how the radical left demands conformity of thought. Absolutely. And if you don't think the way they mandate, they'll just try to silence you or eliminate you or start jamming your cell telephone. I recognize Eric Clapton's greatness. I know that there's absolutely no question about it, that the Slow Hand is a fantastic guitarist. I've never been a huge fan, and I respect him, I admire him, but for whatever reason, somebody who I recognize as brilliant and great, his music's just never clicked with me. I don't know why that is. But here, let me listen to a little bit of this, Sean, see if this speaks to me. I hear a great, great, timeless, important to everybody who loves it piece of music there. And I just, isn't that strange? I don't want to go off too far on a tangent here, but now I'm just going stream of consciousness. But isn't that strange that how different our tastes can be? You know, we're all made up of essentially the same genetic type material, and yet people just hate some music that other people, and I don't hate this at all, but I recognize it's great, it's brilliant, it's dazzlingly delivered and written and all of that. It's great songwriting, just never speaks to me. But how arbitrary it all is. Some people, love this radio show. Some people accidentally listen. It's weird. It's all very strange to me. Okay, what's Eric Clapton? So they've shunned Eric Clapton. That's sad. Here's another story from the world of baseball. Pedro Martinez was one of the all-time great pitchers of his generation. Boston Red Sox, just dominant pitcher. And he was on the MLB Network. And I don't know if people know this, but there's Major League Baseballs. They are, before the game, they're rubbed up with mud. And if it used to be, I don't know if it still is, but it came from like a creek bed that one little family somewhere in New England, I want to say Maine, I should have looked this up before I started talking about it, but like everything, I didn't know I was going to talk about this. But it was like this couple, and somehow it was determined that the mud in their little creek on their property was perfect for rubbing up baseball, so they would just package up the mud and send it to every major league team. And then before the games, just take kind of the sheen and some of the shininess off the baseballs. Somebody would come and just rub up a little bit the baseballs with the mud. And I don't know why this audio is going viral, because, normally I wouldn't talk about baseball, but I'm just trying to figure out why this little clip by Pedro Martinez, it's only 12 seconds, but it's gone viral. And I have no idea why, because he's just talking about how before the game they would prepare the baseballs.
Guess what? It's my game, and I dictate how I want my balls to be rubbed up. And if you didn't do a good job of rubbing the balls the way I wanted them and I didn't feel like I was comfortable, I was going to do whatever.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think every pitcher wants their baseballs prepared the way that, seems to be the best for their game. So anyway, I no idea why that clip's going viral, but if you can figure it out, you can just let me know, would you, please? All right, now, with all of that, is mere prelude. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
The newspaper carrier who ran into Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer a few months ago. The story was that Ed Troyer was at his home about 1 a.m., saw a car driving down his street in his neighborhood. And he said it was stopping in front of different homes, and he wanted to, you know, make sure that nothing untoward was happening. So Ed Troyer gets out of his home, and he goes up, and he confronts the guy, and the guy's a newspaper carrier, he says. Or he was, Cedric Altimer, 24 years old. And so Troyer says that the confrontation, that the guy was really upset that Troyer was asking him who he was and what he was doing. And then Troyer called 911 and said that, accused Altimer of being hot-headed.
About two blocks from my house, and I caught some in my driveway who just threatened to kill me, and they blocked him in. He's here right now.
Okay.
So now they say that Tacoma police responded, because Ed Troyer asked for just, one or two units to come out to check this out.
I really need just one or two people here first.
Absolutely. I'm getting the call right now.
He's not going to let me leave.
Okay, and Troyer says the guy was blocking him in then after that, and he kept saying that this guy says threatened to kill him.
Somebody applied to him, and he just says I'm a racist and wants to kill me. So,
okay.
I don't want anything other than him to let me go home, which is two blocks away, which I just came out of my house.
So Tacoma police came out. They took a report. They say that Troyer, in the report, backtracked the accusation that the guy said he was going to kill him. Troyer told me right after the story broke that he never said the guy threatened, or he never backtracked on the kill me, but that the guy said take me out or some other verbiage. And some are saying, well, Troyer walked back, that he threatened to kill me. Here's a little bit of the body cam audio.
Okay.
I'm a black male. And I'm working.
That has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, it does.
No.
Following me.
Okay, so that's Cedric Altimer, the newspaper carrier, who was obviously very upset that police responded. And there was a big, huge police response because it was the sheriff who called it in. Troyer asked for one or two cars, but it was a massive response from several different agencies. Okay, now, here's what's notable about this. Cedric Altimer, he didn't report the encounter with Ed Troyer. He just let it go, it seems like. And then about 2 months later, 2 months after the incident, the Seattle Times heard about this thing that happened. And the Seattle Times, which has a bunch of reporters who hate cops, I mean, there's no question about that, that there is a strong anti-cop bias at the Seattle Times. So a couple months later, the Seattle Times writes a big story about this racial confrontation between Ed Troyer and Cedric Altimer. And, a court will likely end up deciding this because Altimer has now filed a $5 million, at least $5 million legal claim against Pierce County. The attorneys representing Cedric Altimer submitted the claim this week. They said that Troyer violated Altimer's constitutional rights and caused him severe emotional distress. A couple of questions. If he endured severe emotional distress, why didn't he file a complaint? But he didn't. For 2 months, the story was nothing until the Seattle Times got a tip about it. And then the Times writes a big story, and then that's when Altimer suddenly says that he suffered severe emotional distress. I would think that he would have reported it immediately or the day after or sometime that week if he thought that it was such a, if it was worth $5 million. But I'm so tired of, and a court will decide if there was anything wrong that transpired there. But just the idea that people are asking for $5 million, in this case from the taxpayers of Pierce County, for one. He says one gun was pointed at him when the police responded, but they sorted it out. They found out he was a newspaper carrier, and they let him go. He went on his way. Now, I understand that's a lousy thing to have experienced, but just doesn't seem like a $5 million emotional distress claim to me. And they said in the tort claim that Altheimer has been working as a newspaper carrier for the Tacoma News Tribune for 6 years. And he is the primary support for his five children. Okay. Well, $5 million is like an infinite number of years working as a newspaper carrier, which is a job that's going to be around for maybe another year or two at most. But it used to be that legal awards, monetary awards, were based on what somebody's earnings were. And, you know, right or wrong, if somebody who made $1 million a year was killed somehow and his family lost that income, that factored in. And if somebody was making $100,000 a year, the juries would usually award considerably less, because they were trying to replace income. And this, you know, emotional distress for somebody who didn't even report the incident and who had seemingly moved on until the Seattle Times gets the tip 2 months later. $5 million just seems a little excessive. You know, I talked about this earlier this week, too, where a guy was shot down in White Center. And he's a suspected gang member, according to the police. And the street czar is posting a GoFundMe so this guy can get out of the region. And his son was shot and killed at CHOP. And, you know, his mom, the mom of the kid shot at CHOP, is seeking many, many, many million dollars from the city of Seattle. And I understand you ask for the sky and you try to scare them into settling for what is still a big number. But in an incident like this that you just heard, and I don't know what the courts are going to eventually rule, but does that sound like a $5 million injury to you? I'm just, the reason I bring this up, there are a lot of us who work really, really hard our entire lives, every day of our entire lives, and because we don't ever have an incident like that, we'll never get $5 million over the course of our lifetime. But there is a legal way to riches far beyond the work that many other people do. Okay, next up in the big lead. Oh, man. Sean, I don't have time for the next up here.
I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Yeah. But yeah. If I'm going to really rant on something, I should just do it in the next segment, because I'm kind of out of time here, aren't I?
You are out of time. Yeah, you should treat yourself. Have enough time to rant.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm going to get fired up here. Okay, I will... that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
But the thing I was going to rant about, I will, right after we check the news, since the Dory Monson Show rules. Oh, hey, Sean, I had an idea yesterday as I was driving around. I was going to talk to you about it before the show, and it just popped into my head.
Yeah.
As this bumper came on.
What's up?
I think it's time for a complete overhaul of most of our bumpers.
A complete overhaul of most of them, huh?
That's a good catch on your part. there are a couple, but I just feel like it's time. Don't you think? I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
If you're not moving forward, you're standing still, my friend.
That's right. I think that there are several bumps from years ago, I think, when we first started working together, that I don't really play as much because they do sound kind of boring, old, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I can add some new bumps to the mix for sure.
I would really like that. I'd really appreciate that.
Sure.
Do we... Want to decide thematically of anything or just randomly?
What we've got thematically right now is you want the bumps to sound like a Vegas pool party. At least that's, you know.
Well, I went through that phase.
Oh, you're done with that.
No, I'm still kind of there.
Okay.
If it could be a Vegas pool party, I think that would be great.
Well, I mean, since I've been going under the guise of Vegas pool party, I don't even know if that makes sense. Why don't we just... why don't we just kind of do a random thing? You know what I mean? Okay. So I'll go Vegas pool party. I'll go rock. you know, whatever.
I should have called you before the show about this.
Yeah,
I?
This is horrible.
Yeah. It really is. Okay. No, because a lot of shows, you know, they say, okay, our target demographic is, you know, 46 years old.
Sure.
And so the music that was important to them was 26 years ago. So we're going to do all 1995 bumpers. Yeah, that's a horrible way to do it. That's
so
just.
Who's our demo fun. Now?
Our demo is the people.
Mm.
It's the broad panoply of humanity that lives here in Western Washington. It's the kids, because the kids love our show.
Mm-hmm.
Because they feel like when they tune in from noon to three, they feel like they're sitting at the knee of a wise person in their neighborhood. And so I've heard that from many kids. And then the 20, 30 somethings, they love the show. I mean, they're crazy about the show because they understand, they relate to the struggle that I've lived, and it speaks to the struggle that they are going through right now trying to make it in America. And then you get to the 40 and 50 and 60-year-olds, and they say, well, this is our show. And so it's really everybody, Sean.
Yeah. So I'll just create sort of a mixtape soundtrack for the Dory Monson show.
I'd really appreciate that. All right, thank you.
So like for the 50, 60, 70-year-olds, A Summer Place would be a great song to bump in with? Any other, I know A Summer Place isn't Henry Mancini, but Henry Mancini?
Yeah, 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 that would sound hip and relevant. Yeah, a little
Baby Elephant Walk. Bump right into the Dory Monson show for all you 70-year-olds.
I'll call you tomorrow morning about this, okay?
Oh, don't call me tomorrow morning.
Okay,
just
sorry.
Call me when I get to work.
All right.
Yeah.
As long as you call me. Okay. I do have a little bit of a rant here because I heard a King County councilman on Seattle's Morning News, Dave Up the Grove. Wait, Nicole, didn't we invite this guy to come on a couple of weeks ago when he first proposed this thing?
Yes, we did. I did not hear back from him. Interesting.
Well, it's just, no, it's so weird. I will talk to anybody who disagrees with me on issues. I love that. And I'm amazed at what cowards politicians are, that they will only talk with like-minded people. And they're just afraid. They have so little courage of their convictions. They simply don't believe in the manure that they shovel out, because if they did, they would relish the opportunity to take me on and to defend their position. But you know, most of them are too cowardly and too intellectually vapid to argue their position. So anyway, we tried to get this Dave Up the Grove on when he first announced this plan. He wants King County to be one of the first counties in the United States to offer universal basic income, where, and I don't know how widespread, I don't know if this would be for everybody, but he wants the county to send out a $1,000 check. I don't know if he's put a dollar figure on it, but I've heard that that's one of the things that's being talked about. That's why I'd love to talk with him about it. But the county would send out a $1,000 check to everybody. Free money. Yay. Who doesn't like free money? Except, of course, it's not free money. He wants to raise taxes to pay for it so that the county can give $1,000 back. But, and you might say, well, why not just not raise our taxes and then we'll keep more of our own money? Because then they can't create whatever administrative bureaucracy with several six-figure salaries that would run the universal basic income program. But he did talk to Seattle's Morning News about this, and here's what he said.
You know, coming out of COVID, as the pandemic is getting behind us, I think it really shined a light on the disparities we have in our society. We've known they've been there, the growing gap between the haves and the have-nots, the loss of a middle class. And, you know, it just kind of a I think, a common understanding that something about our whole social and economic system isn't working well right now. And now's the time to explore strategies to try to forgive the cliche, but build back better. And local governments are the laboratories of democracy. And this is something that people are kicking around in other jurisdictions. So I thought, why not take a look at it?
Yeah, why not? Why not just send out money to everybody for nothing? There's another name for that. It's called welfare. It would be just a massive welfare system throughout the county. How would it work, Councilman?
I don't know. That's the whole idea of doing some analysis and development of recommendations. I'm not even an expert, per se, on the topic. It's something that, big picture-wise, holds a little bit of intellectual interest.
Okay, intellectual interest. Okay, a couple things. He says the middle class is disappearing. The government is killing the middle class. There is no question that it's government decisions. It is taxation. It is zoning. It is the fact that if you want to get a house around here, it costs 33% more than any place else in the country because of what local government does to the price of housing. When you want to hook up to a water main or to a sewer and they charge you $20,000 for that, government, according to studies in the Puget Sound area, jacks up the price of housing 33%, and that's compared to what other governments do in other cities around the country. So in other words, a house that would cost $600,000 any place else in the country costs at least $800,000 in the Puget Sound area because of guys like Dave Upthegrove, because of local government. And then he says, well, we lament the failing middle class. You're the ones who have driven up the cost of housing the way you have. You're the ones who have taxed us to the hilt when your party promised they wouldn't raise taxes. And by the way, we already have a universal basic income. It's called getting a job. And anybody who wants to get money can go and get a job. There are businesses today that are looking for employees, that are dying to have employees, that can't find enough workers. You want universal basic income? Tell people to go get a job. But no, that's not how government operates. No, we'll build a universal basic income bureaucracy. And, my buddy, he plays golf with me. He's going to make $175,000 a year administrating that. And then we'll tax a bunch of people, and then we'll give their money to other people who don't want to go get a job. That's universal basic income. Yay! It's free. Our awesome audio is coming up next. Yeah, this'll hip up the show for us. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a day, what a show. All right. Hey, a couple hours ago, I was talking about, I always get text messages every day from people who say, I accidentally had the radio on and heard your disgusting voice. And I said, it's really interesting that much of my audience seems to be people who've accidentally left on the radio. And so, and I said, you know, but that gives you an idea. The people who disagree with me the most aren't smart enough to turn off the radio. And then all these people, not only do they accidentally leave on the radio, but then they accidentally text me. But here's what, because I said they're not very smart if they can't figure out how to turn off the radio. This person might be the classic example of that. Dory, you are right. Most people should not listen to you, your self-righteous arrogance. I am not stupid because I switched to KUOW. Their noon to three program is superior to your self-serving program. They sent that message at 12:50. So how did they hear anything that I said 10 minutes earlier? How are they still listening to send me a text right in the middle of this, of a time slot when they don't listen to my show? That's really interesting to me. So anyway, I appreciate the feedback. And by the way, when you say that you are not stupid, Then you say KUOW's noon to three show. Their noon to three show is superior to mine. Their is not spelled T-H-E-R-E. Okay? I know you want to add that to your body of knowledge because you're not stupid. And you're not. Like, nobody's, we're all what we are. Come on, let's love. Let's just love. Can we? Can we love on that? Okay, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Oh, this has been a fun day. Okay, Joe Biden. Oh, he's got Donald Trump on his mind, even when he's talking about Vlad.
I caught part of President Putin's press conference.
Yeah, it was Putin, not Trump. It was a commie. It was just Putin, not Trump. And then he's been snapping at reporters lately. He gets very upset with them. So one reporter asked him, why is he confident Putin will change? And Joe didn't like that question.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident he'll change behavior. What the hell, what do you do all the time? So when did I say I was confident?
You said
in
the next 6 months.
I said what will change their behavior is that the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating the fact.
But given his past behavior has not changed, and in that press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. So how does that account to a constructive meeting as President Putin?
If you don't understand that, you're in the wrong business.
Is the summit with China next?
Woo, that was Trumpian. If you don't understand that, you're in the wrong business. The love affair's wearing off between the White House press. And that was odd. I saw the video of this. He's out in the sunshine, and then he walks into a building, and he puts on aviator sunglasses just as he walked into the darkness from outside. It's not all there. And then another reporter said, why are you snapping it up?
To be a good reporter, you got to be negative. You got to have a negative view of life. That seems to me the way you all. You never ask a positive question. Why, in fact, having agreement? We'll find out. We have an agreement to work on a major arms control agreement.
You never ask a positive question. This is to a press corps that did everything it could to ignore his obvious troubles and to protect him for a year of sleeping in his basement during a presidential campaign. And now he's upset because they're actually starting to do their job. Okay. I told you earlier this week, we're number three. Washington State is the third highest gas prices in the country. California, number one. Nevada, number two. And thanks to Jay Inslee, Washington is number three. And it could get much, much worse if former President Trump is correct.
Look what they've done. They will make Russia so rich because of what's happening. When I left, it was $1.87 a gallon for a gallon of gas. Now it's over $3. It's going to go up to $5, $6, or $7. Mark my words. And that's bigger than any tax increase you could give. You could triple people's taxes. That costs more money for the middle-income people. Much more money. And for, frankly, for our country, it's a disaster. It's going to stop everything.
Well, and another horrible tax for everybody is inflation. Inflation is at 5% in the numbers just announced. So that means your buying power drops 5%. If you make $100,000 a year, inflation is like a 5% tax, $5,000 a year tax on you, and that's going to keep getting worse, too.
When you talk about we don't want inflation, inflation's going to kill the economy. By the way, you're going to see very soon a big interest rate increase all of a sudden, which is, you know, that's step one. I don't know if you remember during the Carter administration where the prime rate went up to 21%. I was there.
Well, I was there too.
For the primary, yeah. That's the prime cut, and you couldn't get anything. It was the economy came to a halt.
And he was responding to the Fed yesterday, said that they expect two rate increases in the next year or so. I got some more trials. I'll save it for tomorrow's show. That's a tease. It's a big tease for you. I really appreciate you. I was just kidding about all that other stuff for those who disagree. That's, you're fine. Fine, love you. I really love you. Okay, Tom and Curly Show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And I will see you. Oh, we've got a Friday great show planned for you already. See you tomorrow. High noon.
Ada.
This show is truly good for nothing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.